Where Sin Abounded, Grace Did Much More Abound, by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
Our text this morning, Romans chapter 6, has an interesting turn here. To catch the attention of his readers, the apostle uses an interesting question to get our attention. The question is right up front. What shall we say then? What shall we say then? That particular question addresses what has been said in verse 20 of the last chapter. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, was his statement. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The grace of God is where it's at. I'm grateful myself for God's grace in my life. I've got grace running out everywhere because God has been really good to me. I realize that I had some privileges other people didn't have. When I was growing up, I knew we would always have something good to eat. Understand, my dad said when they first got married, Mom could hardly boil water. But she bravely got over that. She had assistance from my grandmother on the Hornbaker side, who was a dandy cook. She learned from her and the other women in that church, little church where we grew up. Grew up there until I was, about 12 years old. And they got so few of us that we were half Hornbakers. And so we moved to town, our membership to another church. But I can recall when they would have church dinners in that little church, I look forward to them. Because just like you do, our cooks brought some of their best dishes to church dinner. And so I really still enjoy good food. The only problem I have is I need to be careful how much good food I eat. Any of you identify with that? And I am learning that I have a lot more energy today than I had a few weeks ago. Because if you eat right, eat good food, and don't eat too much of it, and you have physical activity, you will naturally begin to get back into the body type and shape that you ought to be. It takes time. I know I've been there. And we're going at it again. Takes discipline. And so, if I only take one spoonful of your dish, don't get mad at me. Because I know if I don't try and sample every one of those dishes, I'll be in trouble. You understand?
Yes.
It just kind of goes that way. They expect the pastor to try every dish. But you know what? The last lunch we had, I got around about halfway and I had a full plate. That's not going to work. So I'll have to take smaller portions.
Or a bigger plate.
A bigger plate. I don't think that's going to work there. Yeah, I'd get it all on there. But getting it down is the problem. Because when I get it down, it just kind of sticks on. You see, I'm one of those individuals. My dad talked about that kind of.
Yeah.
He liked what he called animals that are good doers. In other words, the intake that they took in kind of stuck on. And they grew fast. The only problem, I'm through growing up, I'm growing out. Seriously though, it's good to be alive. It's good to live in a country where we can come and go, as it were, pretty freely. We're able to share what God is doing in our life. We're able to just take a little time sometimes. That's getting harder to carve out. And visit with people. But that's what we're purposing to do. It's all because of God's grace. God's been gracious to me growing up as a kid. And I was fully determined when I got 18 and graduated high school, I said, I'm going to go to junior college and start there. And so that's what I did. You know, it didn't cost too much to go to junior college. We graduated in a couple of years. And I was at the basis for an animal science degree. Thought I would work on that and eventually come back to the farm and we would raise livestock and I would expand that operation. But God had different ideas. So I didn't stay there and my father was rather upset. When I announced that God had called me to preach. Because he and Mom had put a lot of effort, time, money into setting everything up so that we could. Sometimes we have unrealized expectations. You ever had those in your life? Your own will. God's been gracious. Before, you know, took my dad to come around. Took him a while. And you probably understand if you knew the effort and the energy they put in to make it possible for me to continue to farm in Reno County and expand the operation. But God was calling me away. And about that time, my little brother, who was 14, who was 14 years younger than I, had to step up a little bit. Dad had to go back to farming, like in the old days. And he had already been retired, kind of. And he and my brother Dave did the lion's share. God made it work. Every summer I came back to help with harvest and prepare to do the next harvest. And off to school again. A lot of lessons you learn by God's grace in life. If you're willing to learn. There's a problem though there. Let me explain. Some wise person once said, they who fail to learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them. And I fear that this nation hasn't learned some of the lessons that God has tried to teach them in the past and today. And if we don't follow God's way, we're going to be in trouble. And we're steered a long way out of the way. Out of the way. When you don't do what God wants you to do, that's when the real problems come. And sin, when it gets into your life, that's simply disobeying God, not following His ways, not serving Him, that's when you need God's grace. Because you can't dig yourself out of a mess you got yourself in. That's true for all of us. The apostle has already shared about sin and the real problem it is. The wages of sin is death. Death is pretty final, isn't it? At least for this life. But the good news is God's grace is there for every single person that will turn to Him and say, God, I can't. I realize I've sinned against You. And God, I can't do a thing about it. But I know that You have done something about it to make it right, my relationship right with You again. And my relationship, when it's right with You, it can be right with others. And that's what I want. I confess I'm a sinner. I confess I need Your grace. And the apostle says, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. So, the apostle here, when he asked this question, what shall we say then? He's really asking this. Since when I sin, grace abounds, shouldn't I sin more? So that grace would abound more and more. The apostle says, no, no way, no how. That's not what God intends. God intends, in fact, Paul says in verse 2, God forbid. Don't even think about it. Don't go there with your mind. God doesn't intend for us to sin so that God's grace will come on the scene and save us again. We've already been saved. Well, we are saved from sin's penalty. We're being saved right now from its power. One day, we're going to all be saved from its presence. That's God's plan. That's why we're here. You know, if God didn't want us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, He wouldn't leave us here. If God didn't want us to be a witness and a testimony to others, a challenge to them to turn to the Lord and receive His grace, we would be out of here when we got saved. There'd be no purpose for us. No, God wants us to stay here for His prescribed time, however long that is. Some only get a few years, a few days, maybe a few months. Some get many days. Some lived over 100 years. I I heard of one man, in fact, he lived on the farm that I grew up on. Levi Grody lived to be 116 years old. Spent his last years in Wichita. 116. That's a long time. He knew Jesse James and his band. He actually put Jesse James' name in an old entry to a little place that he lived in. I mean, we turned it into a greenery when I was a kid. But on the front, on the cement there, on the edge, it said Jesse James, written in the cement. Jesse James did not inscribe that. I've seen people do that, haven't you? Somebody inscribed their name, or they have the kids come out and they'll put the hands and footprints in the wet cement and write their name down there. Yeah. I've seen that. Sometimes things like that remind us of important times in our lives. And they're good to remember where we came from, how God has worked in our lives. No, we don't go around trying to do bad, more bad, so that God's grace can come in and release us from that by His grace. No, we seek to live for God and serve God and rely on His grace every day to be a better person. You and I can't do it on our own. We need the grace of God in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit working through us and in us, transforming us and making us into better children. Sometimes I think we just have more than we should have. Can you follow that? I mean, you know when this country was the closest to God? You don't have to look back any further than the dirty 30s. In those days when, like my grandfather said, dollars are bigger than cartwheels. And by the way, you could buy the best pair of work boots for $2.50. You go try to buy a pair for $250 of the best work boots and you'll have a struggle. Because the dollar, I'll put it like Yogi Berra put it. The nickel's not worth a dime anymore. You know, Yogi Berra had some funny sayings. But what he was trying to say is things are inflating. And dollars are worth nothing anymore, aren't they? It's not even worth 10 cents on the dollar. Just saying. But by God's grace, we're still here. We're still here. And God's word's true. God's word's true. If you stay true to Him, He'll stay true to you, and He'll take care of you all the way through. You don't have to worry about it. But one thing Paul wanted them to know is this. We don't go around sinning anymore as a practice. That's not our way of life anymore. I've been changed. I've been rearranged. God is still working on me. And He's working, praise the Lord. At least I pray, He's working on you. To make you into the person He wants you to be. And it's a process. Yeah, we get saved, we trust the Lord, but that's just the start. That's just the start. God, by the way, is going to finish the work He started. Years ago, it's been quite a few years ago now. We used to go down and see Lori's grandmother and her parents down at Chinook, Kansas, And we'd leave Wellsville up there, and we'd drive down across the east side of the state, and we'd come around this one corner, and there was a house that was starting. And they were working, and they got the foundation in. I don't know how many times we went down there, a number of different times throughout the years, and that thing never got any further than the foundation. The basement, cement was poured, it's set up. I know they weren't curing it for 4 or 5 years. No. Nothing more happened. Somebody had plans, though. I don't know why it didn't get finished. But I know this, if God has started a work in your life, He's got plans to finish it, and by the way, He will finish it one day. Mm-hmm. Paul said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We're new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. It's different. You're not the same person anymore. You're being rearranged by life and God working in you. Learn to listen to Him. I mean, He's got a plan. He's got a blueprint. If you're going to build a building today, you probably get a blueprint, right? You don't just go out there haphazardly. Say, oh, I think about 20 feet this way and 30 feet this way. No. You get a blueprint. It shows you exactly how and where and why. God's got the blueprint. You suppose if you want your life to be built right, it would be good to start with a good foundation? You bet. I know no better foundation to base your life on than Jesus Christ. Solid, sure, secure. You can trust it for time and eternity. He's there. By the way, the co-helper in the project is the Holy Spirit of God. They're all working together. And God's reading the blueprint out. What does that person need today? You never know what's down the road. You never know. God knows. Fasten your seatbelt and hang on. That's my advice to you. Because sometimes God takes you on a bumpy road. A bumpy road. But you know what? I know it'll smooth out in the end. Mm-hmm. It'll smooth out. And people are watching you. Someone once said, the best and most often read version of the Bible is you. That's pretty true. People will look at your life, see what you do, when you do it, how you do it, and they'll be looking at you to see what a Christian ought to do. Dr. Kim. Does that look like Dr. Kemp was doing the Bible study? It's upside down, isn't it? I've talked about Dr. Kemp before. Yeah. Dr. Kemp would preach on the book of Revelation. He had a 50-foot chart that he'd come to church and he'd preach on the book of Revelation. He'd preach all week. And this is the way he carried his Bible. You suppose he read that? He quoted it. Quoted. I don't have it all memorized. Sometimes my boys, when they were little, they'd come to the car without their Bible. Guess what Dad would say?
Yeah.
You got it memorized? I don't, but I got certain selected passages memorized. And you can't know too many of them. Because they apply to life. They speak to our hearts. They help us to learn, to guide us, to help us be the people God wants us to be. God loves us so much, even when we're sinners, Christ died for us. That's the good news. He paid the penalty of sin. That's God's grace. Right now, He's working on us to change us, rearrange us, and make us more of the person He wants us to be. Saved from the penalty of sin, saved right now from the power of sin. Because the Holy Spirit is in your life. He is guarding you. He's directing you. He's helping you to understand the word of truth. So you're going the right way. That's simply what God is doing. Listen to what God is saying. Learn from the world in which you live the truths of God. This week, that was this week, wasn't it? When Jared called and said, hey, have you seen the Northern Lights? He said, no, I haven't seen the Northern Lights. I went out. There's no Northern Lights in Lewis. I went up north of town, about a quarter mile up to the next little mile line up there. No lights. Just farm lights.
Yeah.
But Jared says, yeah, I'll show you. And so on his phone, he took pictures and he sent Lori pictures of the Northern Lights. Red. Wow. I thought, wow, I'd like to see that too. Usually you got to be way north somewhere to see the Northern Lights. Reds and greens, all different hues. There's an artist at work. He's painting lovely pictures. His name is God. He's in control still. He knows about you. Or you say, I'm just insignificant. I'm not much. But you know what? If you're connected with God, you're somebody. It's not who you are, it's who you know. He makes the difference. Wow, God's grace. We're here. He saves us from the penalty of sin, the power of sin. One day, this is what I can really get excited about. He's going to save us from the very presence of sin. Everywhere you look today, you can find sin going on, can't you? The sad thing to me is this. Far too many who name the name of Christ are the ones doing the sins, open and unashamedly. I got it off my chest. If I have to give it off my chest, what do you suppose God has to do? Don't you think it hurts Him? I know it does me. When that goes on, God wants us to know He doesn't want us to stay there. Yeah, He's got grace. But you know, we got to confess and get right with God and get in the right way and do the right things as God's people. Then God will bless. In fact, the Word of God says something like this. If judgment begin at the house of God, where shall be the end of those who believe not? And that's paraphrase. It's not recalling right now. But the gist of it all is, God is going to start with His people. He's going to get His people right so they can help Him with getting other people right with God. You see, God wants us to turn to Him. Wants us to be all in, all on board, all ready to share the Word when God gives the opportunity. You say, I'm bashful, I can't share. Guess what? When I started, I couldn't either. But you know what? If you let God work in you, if you let Him speak to you, if you just share what He's done for you, that simply will open eyes and hearts and allow people to focus on Jesus Christ and not you. And when you share, make it about Him, not you. Because then people will know it's not you, it's by God's grace that I am able to do anything for Him. But the good news is God will use all of us who are willing to be an instrument of righteousness for Him. And He knows, and I know, and I don't know very much, but we need more who would say, I want to be that instrument God uses. I want to be that instrument. You don't all have to be the preacher. Because if the preacher's the only one, what do you got? You got a very unhealthy church, right? You need all different kinds of individuals with all different kinds of gifts to do the work of God. All you got to be is willing to let God use you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let God. Give up and let God. And then do the work He's called you to do. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the Word. Thank You for how You're so gracious with us. We know we don't deserve it, but still You're always there to hear, always there to encourage, always by Your Spirit speaking to us, convicting us when we're in the wrong, helping us, strengthening us when we're in the right. Help us, use us, work through us for Your glory, for Christ's sake.